Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Shout out Big Jeff. Nothing like the Jim Blossoms riding the old Pontiac Bonneville, the old Bird's Eye Company car, jamming out to the Jim Blossoms. Let's get into the list. Reuben Bain. All right, over at ESPN.com, Bill Connelly has given us, I think, a good solid 3,000-word preview for tomorrow night's game with Ole Miss and Miami, as well as Friday's game with Indiana and Oregon. But also, as a bonus, he ranked the top 20 players of the college football playoff. His number one is Reuben Bain. When he writes it out, like, your eyes tell you Reuben Bain's been unstoppable, but when he writes it out, it sounds even more insane. Through two games, 10 tackles, 6.5 tackles for loss, four sacks, 16 pressures, and two run stops. Now, this is the question that I have. Has he been better, though, than the number two player, Trinidad Chambliss?
So that's one and two.
Those are one and two. Three is Mendoza, who obviously only has the one game, but he was darn near perfect. I mean, he was 14 of 16. That's the other thing. They won, what, 38-3, and he only had to throw 16 passes. I mean, his brother played what?
Like a full quarter, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I think his brother played at least the whole fourth, if not, I can't remember if he came in the third. So Mendoza went 14 of 16, 192 yards, three touchdowns, a 96.7 QBR, and then he also had 38 rushing yards. Mark Fletcher comes in at four. Two games, 38 touches, 287 yards. Mark Fletcher he's averaged on yards from scrimmage, 143.5 yards per game. The next closest is Kalon Black with 110, and then Kawan Lacey with 102. So he's a good solid 33 yards a game ahead of everyone. He was phenomenal. You know what doesn't get enough credit? I know we talked about yesterday for us, like, it does feel like the game comes down to two matchups with Miami and Ole Miss. It's, can Reuben Bain wreck the game in the same fashion that he wrecked the A&M game and the way that he wrecked Ohio State? Or can Chambliss, is he elusive enough to maybe neutralize him, wear him out maybe a little bit? And then the other one for me is, if Miami can run the football, I think Ole Miss is in for a long day. But Ole Miss did a pretty good job against the run against Georgia. So, like, to me, like, those are the real questions. But the other thing that I've noticed about Miami is, have y'all seen when they're running like the split zone play? You know, they bring the blocker across the formation. He attacks the backside, and then they just run inside zone. They're also bringing Malachi Toney down and cracking on linebackers. And dude is just, like, absolutely stonewalling linebackers. Like, what's amazing to me is how well they're getting their receivers to block in the run game. And, like, I don't know, like, to me, like, what's exciting about both these games is I think Miami and I think Indiana probably win. Am I confident in that? No. But I guess that's kind of where I've struggled. It's like, I thought Ohio State's offensive line wasn't, compared to the rest of their roster, I thought it was one of the weaker spots. He took advantage of that. A&M's offensive line has kind of been up and down for much of the year, particularly in pass protection. And he took advantage of them. Ole Miss's offensive line, this is one of those ones where I don't know what the answer is. Like, has Ole Miss's offensive line really gotten that much better from the last couple of years? Or do they just have truly one of the most elusive quarterbacks ever had, so it makes the numbers look better? Like, Chambliss on, I believe it's 404 dropbacks, has only been sacked 13 times. That would be like 14th nationally, and that includes like option quarterbacks that never get sacked.
I mean, even to that point, his pressure rate, if I remember correctly, isn't like crazy high or anything like
no,
that.
No, it's like 20th nationally.
Right. Like, it's not something ridiculous.
Number five in that list is Centarian Perkins. Six is Akeem Mesidor.
God, Mesidor's so good.
Seven. Mesidor is good. Is he as good without Reuben Bain?
Like, is that not almost, like, could you also ask the same question of Bain? Like, Bain is awesome.
I think Bain's awesome.
I think Bain is just straight up awesome, but is he a little bit better because offenses also have to account for Mesidor?
I think everybody's focused on him, and so Mesidor gets a ton of one-on-ones.
Right.
And Mesidor one-on-one, I know who I'm betting on.
Oh, yeah.
That would be Mesidor. But, like, if Mesidor, and it doesn't, the great thing for Miami is,
they have both.
Doesn't matter. They have both.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Like, that's,
yeah, we do.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
I'm like,
cry me a river. Like, you know, but I have wondered if Mesidor, if you weren't, everyone was just not so focused on Bain,
right,
is he as dominant as he's been? Devin Boykin, the DB for Indiana, comes in at seven. Bray Lynch, the right guard, shout out our offensive lineman, coming in at eight. Zero blown blocks and 66 snaps. Shout out Alabama's will to lay down. Keontae Scott, number nine. I mentioned this yesterday. I need to know your official comment. I watched Keontae Scott make, honestly, one of the best plays we've seen the entire playoffs. Jumping that route in the fashion that he did.
Mm.
But the fact that I saw a young man wear the Miami U and sprint 70 yards to the end zone with no one around him and never once taunt the Ohio State bench guys behind him, not my Miami. That's not my U.
You know, we walk in.
That's too disciplined.
You know,
I don't want that. Ray Lewis should have said something on the sideline.
You know, we walking with different discipline, man. You know, Cristobal, it's like a man of class, Jeffrey.
That's Alabama stuff. That's Saban stuff.
You always want your favorite.
That's robots.
Uncle to go to rehab. And when he go to rehab, now he's coming back. Oh, now you acting too bougie. We just wanted you to calm down a little bit. We didn't want you to get back.
Yeah,
we
just
wanted you down in
we didn't need you to find the Lord. Like, you know, like we got church for that. Like, come on.
You know, I'm just happy right now. I do get what Jeffrey means. I say we bring back that old Miami stuff to the championship game. I want them to stay focused, get Ole Miss. Don't do none of that messy stuff. Don't bring the turnover chain out. But when your boys will be there present, well, there's a good seat of nosebleed. I want y'all to turn up in Miami.
That's where we need a little bit of the crazy.
Yeah, because I'm going to be real with you. I didn't realize, because you never think we're going to really make it this far at first, that it's almost like the 49er thing. I don't know if God put me in football heaven. They actually playing the championship at home. And it's like, I think as great as Indiana or anybody is, you get Miami in Hard Rock Stadium. And I know you got to show the ticket sales or whatever like that, but I just think even from the outside and the whole city and neighbor, I think they will have the momentum.
It does feel like the national champions playing on Friday. With that said, I do think kind of the lesson of the playoffs so far is kind of so far what you've thought, it's not held up. Like, I think most people came in, yeah, Ohio State lost to Indiana, but they're the favorite for a reason. Everyone kind of thought, like, if you made everyone pick one team, it felt like the majority were going to pick Ohio State. They didn't even win a game. I think the second most popular pick would probably have been Georgia. They're not there. And I don't know. I kind of go back and forth. My eyes tell me Indiana's just better than Oregon, but gambling brain tells me Oregon should be the pick.
Because if you beat a team twice.
Well, there have been in the BCS like championship game era,
right,
and playoff, we've had five postseason rematches outside of bowl games, in games that counted. The team that lost the first matchup is 4-1. The lone team to win is Ole Miss beating Tulane. So it's like when you set aside a power team versus a G6 team, it's 4-0. Now, is that like fool's gold sample size? Perhaps, but I also think there's something to it.
So I rank the teams just like you just did, Jeffrey. So I know what, like, I'm not on the betting scale. I know what the rest of the world was saying, but this is how I ranked the teams before the playoffs. I had Ohio State 1. I had Georgia 2. I had Indiana 3. And I had us ranked 4th. And so in my head, I'm going through it. I'm like, we potentially are going to have to play all three of the top three teams. Yeah. I thought we would have to play Ohio State was number 1. Come back and play Georgia. And it didn't go like that. Now, it could be. I can see how people could say that Georgia and Indiana should be a toss up. Man, I really think Indiana is they're focused and they own one right now. I'm gonna be real, and I think their quarterback should be even in front of Bain. That should be the number one ranked player in the playoffs.
I think he kind of got dinged because he only played one game, and honestly, he played three quarters of a game. But like to your point, I think Indiana went 3-and-out on their first possession, and then like from that point forward, they basically didn't screw up the rest of the way.
Even like, to that, Mendoza had like said something about that. Oh, he's either like a post-game presser or something. It had to do with the bye and all that. He's like, we had like a month off. That first drive, we were a little bit rusty. Like, we were still getting our feet back under us. And then they locked in, and they were essentially perfect the rest of the game.
No matter if you think Alabama is down, guys, that was really impressive and really embarrassing. I don't care if you do. It's still Alabama. 38-3 are almost scoreless. Let's be real.
It was 38-whatever. They kicked a field goal down 5 touchdowns. Like, that was so sad.
Yeah, because that really, let's be real, that really felt like 40-0. Let's just be real.
I think it felt worse.
Yeah, like 45-0.
Yeah, right? When you're busting out your Heisman winner's little brother to go play quarterback for, you know what I mean, though? Like, you're throwing him out there for a full quarter of a playoff game?
When I call MUS football games, I root for two things. Number one, I root for the Owls to win. The second thing I root for is if the Owls are not going to win, I want there to be a running clock. You have to get 30. A team's got to be up by 30 for the second half.
So they do running clock?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, in basketball, I be hoping they do that. That's why y'all still see high school scores 100-9. They don't stop the clock. They do it at AAU, not at the Nike events. They don't stop the clock in high school basketball.
They should.
Yeah, they should some game.
No, I mean, it's because it's also, you know, I mean, when we played, they didn't do it. But, like, you would see, like, some schools would win, like, 120-0. Now it's, like, even when Baylor, which has got a Sun Belt or a Conference USA roster, like, they're only beating teams, like, 42-0.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because, like, the clock just runs in the second half, and everybody's just trying to get out of there.
And I think that's good for kids, too. I'm not being soft when I say this. Now, if you do one elite team against another elite team, gloves off. When I play another Nike team,
We're talking about.
But yeah, if I play like at a tournament, you know, you have to do a couple warm up games and pool play. I get up 20-30. Hey, fall back in zone. We're not gonna keep on going.
Play the other kids
and fall back.
Yes.
Because let's be real, at our age now, you should be manly enough now. But you know, you don't want to have a story to tell people, man. I lost 90-100 before. That shouldn't be in your memory. 42-0 is enough. I mean, the man took enough of a beating. You know what I mean? But that 100 stuff, I actually don't like as soft as it sounds. I don't like when coaches do that. I'd be like, What are you proving? Why are you still pressing and you have 40, 50 points? Like, is it what's going on here?
I have a theory on this, although the head ball coach, Spurrier, would beg to differ. I think a lot of the coaches that do that didn't play.
Yeah.
That's always my theory, because usually the coaches that played at a pretty high level, they know when the game's over, and it's not an ego thing. And it's not like trying to maybe make up for something you didn't accomplish.
Yeah.
I mean, I was also thinking about this, though. I think the problem is we live in this era of stats. Because, again, I played at a school where we were a heavy, like, we put all of our best players on defense. We tried to, basically, we played like Iowa football. Like, we wanted to keep you from scoring and have our offense do enough, moving on. But, like, it was never about, like, which guy got 10 catches and whatnot. And I just think now it's just this entire era. And I'm not saying that our way was better and this way is wrong. I understand it. Heck, now there's much more money involved. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, like, we've talked about when you'll recommend to some of your guys, hey, go to that Sunbelt school, get your numbers, and then you'll get your payday. Well, part of that's got to go get your numbers.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm not sitting here from, like, Mount Pius saying, like, back in my day it was better, but I just do think that the entire sports world has gone more individualistic, and you understand why. It's generally motivated by money, but I think that's where everything has just been moving.
So we talking about high school, Jeffrey. I get college and above.
Well, like, well, for instance, like when you talk about those coaches that are pressing whatnot.
Yeah.
How many of the recruiters are sitting there looking like, dang, can I see your shot chart when you averaged 28 in Peach Jam?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it may turn out that guy just had a bunch of layups and dunks from just easy baskets, but you sit there and go, this guy averaged at the highest level. He averaged 28. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I do understand it.
Yeah. I think it's a thin line, though. Let's say you're playing somebody that's, once again, I say gloves off if it's an elite team against elite team.
Yeah.
Like what they just did. I'm talking about these high school scores you see online where, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just using an example. A ball at a Collierville plays the smallest 1A school.
The homeschool team, yeah.
To me, it's a thin line between not taking your foot off the pedal and some being a little wrong with you or your ego, or you're the big coach on campus, or you want to show whoever it is, administration, women in the stand, whatever, because that's still crazy, right? And two, people find a way. Jeffrey, you know what I have learned dealing with parents, and your daddy, Mike, can attest to this. It has always been problems before the money. The same problems people use that as excuse now. These same prima donna parents was prima donnas in high school before it was NIL, before it was this. But now they use it like, oh, you're messing up this opportunity. That, no, it's just about you. It would have been about you in 97. It would have been about you in 2007. It's almost, Jeffrey, like the easy excuse to make. Like if you don't want to do something, if somebody asks you to borrow some money or something, you can always say like, man, I got something to do for my kids.
I don't have cash today. Like, my Venmo's down.
You can use your kids. Yeah. I'm going to be real with you. And back in COVID era, and some people still just retiring that, people would still take out work for COVID. I'm like, dude, that's getting a little, you know, I know they can still.
Oh, yeah, working from home? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's like once we started, it's like, yo, people aren't going back to the office. Jeez, I wonder why. Like, you told them to go home. Like, it doesn't.
Yeah, they having trouble getting people.
It's the same. I mean, look at attendance at sporting events.
The good teams still got good attendance.
I mean, yeah, but like there's a lot more not good teams.
Yeah, that need that support.
Yeah.
Have the form started to get back straight?
Grizzlies games are better, but Tiger games are not.
It was a couple good. I think that Baylor game was a good look.
Baylor was okay. The thing that has helped, because if you just watched on TV, you know, they're not selling all of the terrace. They're only selling like certain sections in the terrace. So what it's doing is just funneling everybody down to the lower bowl so it looks better on TV.
Okay. So does that mean the lower bowl is selling more too?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, if you flipped on now, granted, I don't know how I'm not saying this is a fair representation because last week when they played North Texas, the game was, I think it tipped off in the middle of the show, so three. Plenty of good sections were still available in the lower bowl.
What day was that game?
It was Wednesday. It was New Year's Eve.
That's tough though with the kids being gone. And
yeah.
Stuff.
I mean, it's just, and then you run into the issues of, man, that's a lot of money to ask people to buy season tickets, and you sit there and you go, "There's really about three games I want to go see."
That is true too.
I mean, what the best home game was Baylor.
Yeah, that was
Vandy
good.
Was a decent home game. But that game was not great either.
Baylor was a good game in the crowd and on the floor. That was a good product that was shown that Baylor game.
But, I mean, I this is where, like, I can't fault all the fans where you sit there and you go, man, I only really care about going to three games. I'm not going to just dump 10 grand in to make sure I get the seats. Like, I'm going on SeatGeek.
Well, can't they go down on the college games or no? That's just only by the FedEx form.
Well, so Memphis is doing a move where if seats are unsold, you can like trade up. Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to do some things like that. But then you run into this issue of, all right, yeah, like these seats are unsold, but in the same section, I've got a booster that paid 15 grand to have eight seats. Can I really sit there and go, hey, man, if you give me, like, 1,100, you can have, like, two of these? You know what I mean? Like, because the guy's sitting there paying 15 grand going, like, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
It's tough. Like my brain goes, it's still leaving money on the table. But I do acknowledge that's a...
You want to keep the quality, too.
Well, you want to keep the people that are paying the most
that's
happiest.
What I'm
yeah,
you
exactly.
Want to keep the, and you want to keep your. But it happens on all levels. I know this is a smaller level, but I fly all airlines, right? So with Delta, if first class is not sold out, they will bump somebody up who already got a status. But with American and United, and this is how I don't roll first class a lot, when you get ready to go and check in, they at that point, if that morning, they would charge like 129, 159 upgrade to first class, 79, so just depending on how many seats. So I know that first guy I'm sitting by spent $1,000 for his flight or $800 originally.
Oh, it's one of my favorite pastimes. Whenever, I mean, it used to happen all the time with Northwest because my dad, like, traveled 200-something days of the year. So, like, and then after 9/11, like, my dad had, like, super triple platinum status on Northwest. There was nothing better than watching that millionaire business guy sitting first class and then looking over at me like, how the hell did you get up here?
Yeah.
It's like, thanks, Dad.
Yeah. So they do. So,
million-mile flyer.
People got to upgrade and they got to make their things, but Tigers should figure that out. And another thing going to have to happen, Jeffrey, let's say you don't give the average guy like me or you that bump, but maybe we give it to, like, if they can afford it, at least the students. Because you want them.
Man,
to...
I think the problem is they're not even selling all the student tickets. But like my thing is like, I don't know, give it to veterans, give it to heck. My thing is like, I think we're running into a real issue of making new fans. I mean, start heading to the schools, man. I mean, like, who wants to go to the Tiger game?
Yeah, I mean, because the University of Memphis still got 20-some thousand students. Now we know some online, so if they could, they can. If their students get behind it, that would be a lot of people there.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, my thing is, like, you're now running into this issue of every seat you give away, like, that's revenue that could go to the roster.
Oh.
Like, you're running into this, like, it's, in a way, it was a lot cleaner and easier when it was just like, all right, we're just kind of funding all the sports, but like we're not really worried about how much money. Like we just have to spend what we make so that we make it look like we don't have money to give to the players. But like we just have to spend up to that. You're not really all that worried about whether or not you make a profit. Well, now we're in this era where it's like the money you don't make feels like it's handicapping your program.
Oh, well, it's tough then because you definitely, I don't know. I think life is better when the form is better. You know, I think it motivates the kids. I think it motivates
the city is better. I mean, I'm here since 88, my entire life. That stretch of like 2010 to basically like the Core Four era, like 2010 to like 2018, like that was when most people went downtown. That's when it felt like the city had all the momentum and the best run of the Grizzlies. And while the Tigers weren't at the peak Calipari era, it still mattered. And I think that's directly related. Like, you still had people going to the games. And it all goes back to, like, when you tell people to go inside, they'll make up excuses to not go.
Oh, for sure. But one thing frugal fans are going to do are just, not saying it's the Tigers, but or the Grizzlies or Memphis, but if you're winning, they go eventually find their way around, though. Like, if you making a buzz, like, the Tigers in the top 25, I'm telling you, like.
I think you're right on the Grizzlies, but we kind of saw this last year with the Tigers. That was about as good of a season as you could realistically have.
Yeah, yeah.
Set the tournament aside, but I'm talking home games. It was still one of their worst attended years of Penny's era.
This just started happening because I could just remember when I was going to a lot of games, couldn't have been even, I still go to some, 2, 3, 4 years ago, we was having whiteout games and stuff. It was sold out.
I think a lot of things have happened. A, the pandemic is obviously a huge part of it. B, you can watch every game on TV now. And then another big aspect of this is I think the fan base has been beaten down. A, like, Tiger basketball is no longer, like, the prominent, it doesn't hold the like the spot in prominence it once did. But then also it's like people are beaten down from conference realignment and all this. Like, you look around and you're like, we're in Conference USA again, but like at least when they were in Conference USA, there were still games that they cared about. Still played Louisville. Still played Cincinnati. Like, there were games that everyone cared about. Now you're sitting there going, the most important thing for the Tigers is just not to lose.
And I've been watching Cincinnati football and basketball lately. Dude, you can't tell me if Tigers get in the same conference, we would be more competitive. Like, I went and researched this myself because I got kids committed. Like, Cincinnati be having some pretty bad losses in both.
So, my fraternity little brother used to work for Wes. And he's like, I know Cincinnati's in trouble because Wes brought back a kid that he kicked off the team. And he basically...
What's the name? Someone from Miami.
Right. But basically what he was telling me, he's like, do you realize how hard it is to get kicked off of Wes's team? He was like, you basically had to commit a felony, and even then he might let the justice system play out.
So, yeah, partner, this must be one of your North Carolina partners.
Oh, yeah.
Because Wes from North Carolina.
Carolina and coach with Mick Greensboro.
Okay. And it's crazy. They play just like the football team. They can't score.
We got them last night again.
They can't. And so you can't tell me if Memphis had the same resource or conference. That's what I'm saying. It's the conference alignment that then beat the fans. Now, it really ain't Memphis or Penny or the pandemic. You give us more money and give us a real conference, I think people are excited. If Georgetown is coming in town and Texas is coming into town, or, you know, I'm just using West Virginia. I think because we consistently.
Heck, if just like Oklahoma State's coming into town.
Yeah, like if we're in the Big 12, I think that looks good because UFC to me and Cincinnati and those teams have not really done a great job that I think we would do better than them.
So the only thing I wonder about is if Memphis. Like, let's say Memphis's path in is having to buy their way in, you know, like where they got the $200 million and they're not taking the money. I do fear what does it look like when they're not taking the, like, because they would be doing that move to preserve their long-term future, which is a 100% prudent move to do. But I would worry about that first 5-6 years where they're not getting any of the conference money and everybody else has got that money. But once it got on equal footing, yes, I'm with you.
That would probably make us worse, because if we're not getting money right, like if we're not handling it, so at that point we wouldn't even be getting, that would still hurt us in NIL, right? Because we don't have money like SMU and all them that we
Correct.
Could throw away money and it's more money being made. So that could kind of hurt us, right?
Right. So that would be my fear, is that if their path in is having to buy their way in and not take the check, to your point, there's not 8 billionaires sitting on the Memphis board ready to fund sports, and there's not, you know, an oil guy that played offensive line for Tommy West that's saying, okay, I'm worth $2 billion. I don't have enough to go buy a sports team, but I want my college to be good. Like, they don't have that either.
Yeah, I guess that's one of them things. I mean, I think we got to still accept it, though, if we was to ever get in the power, because it's just like, if not, it feels like everybody else is going to get left out the way. Like, and we're like on that tip of the iceberg.
Well, I think that's the real question. Did SMU do what they did because they thought that was the last boat?
I think for sure, because I knew people at Cal and stuff at the time. Cal and Stanford and them, to come across the country to play, they did not want to get left out. Like,
100%.
They felt like they were getting left out. Like, I know coaches there, and I'm like, he's telling me, like, hey, Harry, tell one of your kids they want to come to the Duke and NC State game. I'm like, huh, what y'all, it's a December. Are we in a conference now? I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, he said, but while we out here, I guess they treating it like AAU and NBA. He's like, we leave there and go straight to Georgia Tech. We won't be home.
They try
for
to
a
do
week.
The trips, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Hey, you know, student athletes. That's what it all matters. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's talk about the game specifically we got coming up this weekend. We'll talk about both the NFL and the college football playoff. We'll do it next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM. Yes.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there is no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, boys, over at Awful Announcing, they have ranked the 10 Super Bowl matchups that would be the best for NBC. Let's see if we agree. Number 10, Eagles and Steelers. I think if that's 10, that's like, okay. Like, that's two historic brands. Battle of Pennsylvania.
I was about to say the in-state rivalry.
Yeah.
Always goes hard.
Yeah, that would work. Number 9, Niners-Chargers for the Harbaugh factor.
Okay.
Number 8, Steelers-Packers for Rodgers.
Yep.
Should that be higher? Let's see.
Yeah.
Because I think it should be higher than this. Broncos-Rams.
I mean, I think that'd be a really good game. Mm-hmm.
I think those are two very good teams.
Right.
But what's the storyline?
What's the extra? Exactly. Where's the extra juice coming from?
6, Bills and Eagles.
Okay. Mm.
5, Patriots and Bears.
I like that.
God, can you imagine the amount of 1985 yeah, Super Bowl?
Yeah,
we're like,
yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, we're already in the era of nostalgia. Like, oh, they would just bombard us with that. 4, I think these are two good teams. This is not my 4th game. Broncos Seahawks. It's two teams of like good teams, but there's no like who's the best player. But that would just be the Peyton Manning Super Bowl revenge.
Is the best player there just Pat Surtain?
Who's the best player on the Seahawks?
JSN?
Who's their best defender? Because that's the other thing about their defense. It's like it feels like it's kind of like everyone. Like
they're all just so like rock solid.
They're like, deep. Like they rotate their defensive line. Like
Leonard Williams is still there and playing really well. Oh, who's that edge rusher that it's always slips in my mind that he's there? A former Cowboy.
Oh.
Now that I say it, you're going to be like,
oh, God.
I mean, their secondary is good. Witherspoon's awesome.
Like, that's the thing. They have a bunch of really good players.
That rookie, Emin Wari, has been phenomenal this year for Seattle.
They defense off the chain.
Right. And it's just, like, just dudes. Like, no, like, crazy big names. Like, it's not like, oh, that guy's going to win, you know, defensive player of the year.
I think both of them teams are
two. Iman Wari.
That's the safety, isn't it?
Yeah.
The rookie? Yeah.
The Carolina.
Who's that edge rusher I'm thinking of?
Byron Murphy's had a good year.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Lawrence is who we're trying to think
of. Yes, that's who we're thinking of. Right. He's also had a really good year.
Like, Ernest Jones had 126 tackles this year.
Dang.
Like that's like Patrick Willis numbers. Like yeah. We don't see that anymore. Like heck, linebackers aren't on the field that much anymore. It's like we got one linebacker on the field with everybody else just DBs.
Love Patrick Willis. Had to leave too early.
My wife laughed at the Tulane game. I was like,
he was there.
I was like, that has to be Patrick Willis. And she's like, really? I was like, there's no other human being that looks like that. I was like, that's Patrick Wills. That one, I was like, I am confident on that one. Number 3, Patriots-Eagles.
Okay.
2, Patriots-Rams. Are the Patriots that interesting?
I think because of how they have turned it around, their historic run. That's when I started thinking about when y'all said them against the Bears. Could you imagine one? That's Mac Jones, right? Him or Williams?
No, Patriots, Mac is with
No, Mac's with you.
The Niners.
No, Mac Jones. What's
Drake May?
Drake May.
You got Drake May and Williams. One of them win a Super Bowl this quick. And push them into
one I can get on board with because there's nothing we love to do than re-rank that quarterback draft.
See what I'm
right?
Saying?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like we've gone from duh, Jaden Daniels should be one to Drake May should have been one to
man, Caleb's looking pretty darn good with this Ben Johnson guy. You know
exactly. And so I think, and then you know what else we like to do? because a lot of them bland. We like to re-rank the quarterbacks anyway. And if them two make it to the Super Bowl, the winner, we're going to put in the top five now.
The winner will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. That will be the reaction.
It's like, always the reaction.
Well, and then it'll be over under 5.5 Super Bowls for Drake May or Caleb Williams, whichever one wins. Because that's immediately where we go.
And with them being two.
Despite the fact that there's like 7 quarterbacks that have won more than 3.
But with us doing 2 historic franchises, I will say I feel like the Patriots still are built for success. It ain't been that long ago, if that makes sense, since they had success. I feel like it would be a bigger thing for the Bears because in my history, they didn't have some years. They went to the Super Bowl, but I still feel like they've been really subpar and up and down the last 10, 15, 20 years.
By the way, I was wrong. There are 6 quarterbacks with 3 or more. And then we'll set, we're going to set the over-under at like 4.5 because that's just what we do. No, I do agree with the Pats, but then there's also this question of, are we back to, remember when the Seahawks won with Russ as their quarterback? It felt like everyone decided the new formula was you need the quarterback on the rookie deal, the cheap contract, and have everybody else be good enough. Well, then we met someone named Patrick Mahomes. And then it became if you don't have the Mahomes, if you don't have Burrow, if you don't have Josh Allen, all this, it doesn't matter. And so we got into this era of paying quarterbacks $60 million. Well, that takes the hold on the roster. If Drake May wins the Super Bowl this year, we've already seen some quarterbacks. You're supposed to get the extension going into after your 4th year of your rookie deal, but Kyler changed all that, getting it after his 3rd. So now it's like, does May get paid earlier? And then all of a sudden, like, how good's the rest of their roster? Like, I do think that's kind of, like, what I'm curious about this year is this year an outlier because injuries for, like, Lamar, although Lamar wasn't that good even when he was playing.
And Burrow.
Burrow.
Mahomes.
But they were going to miss the playoffs before he got hurt. But still, is it just an outlier because these were teams that really needed to reset anyway, and they'll be back? Or are we seeing these teams that have all their money tied up into their quarterback? Is this where, like, that formula is getting blown up and everybody, like, are we going to get to another situation where it's like, get the quarterback on the cheap deal and have everybody else be good? Because while Jalen Hurts wasn't on the cheapest of deals, he's like the 10th highest paid quarterback. And the rest of the Eagles roster, pretty freaking good. Like, I that's kind of where I'm turning. But it's like, I still think if we got to a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers on the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Green Bay Packers, I think that is ahead of...
That'd be awesome.
I can get on board with Patriots Bears, but above the other ones, like, guys, that would just be unreal. Like, his potential, like, swan song is his last game ever is in the Super Bowl against the Packers. Like, that writes itself. The number one game, though, they have Bills Bears.
Okay.
Yeah.
Frange, like, long-term franchises.
Well, it's
like
the perennial underdog going for the Super Bowl against the country's 3rd biggest media market with one team. And it's the biggest media market with one team.
I kind of like that.
That'd be cool.
The ones I don't love because I don't think they've been in that city long enough, although they're a great team, is like storyline. Anything with the Rams, as good as they are, is like...
That's the problem with the L.A. teams. Chargers is the same
thing.
Yeah,
you're like, trying to mix different histories and stuff.
Guys, I'm so blessed. I got Herbert going on the road in another playoff game. For those that have forgotten at home, let me give you a quick recap of Justin Herbert in the playoffs. His first playoff outing was blowing the biggest lead in NFL playoff history. His second playoff outing was throwing more touchdown passes to the defense than he did to his own team.
Yeah, that was Houston last year.
Yeah.
And then the one before that was
Jags.
I loved that Jags game.
Trevor Lawrence threw 4 picks and a half and won the game.
He looks pretty good this year, too. I want to up him in my quarterback rankings.
But I mean, that's.
Oh, him those last like 10 weeks of the year? Woo! Like,
yeah, the Jags actually looking pretty good.
The other part of the story, though, it's like Josh Allen is in the playoffs and there's no boogeyman.
Yeah, they've been saying it. It's no.
But he's got to go on the road every game, just about.
No Pat is no
Burrow.
Burrow is no Lamar, right? Or Lamar.
Right. Well, he owns Lamar.
So who was it? Was three?
It's Pat and Burrow.
Pat and Burrow. Okay.
Yeah. So he has, like, because that's the other thing. It's like Josh Allen is 0-4 in the playoffs. Like, that's a Patrick Mahomes stat. Like, one of those losses was him scoring with 13 seconds left to go ahead, and that wasn't enough. We really going to put that on him?
Yeah, because he'd had big-time games. But for some reason, I still don't think he's the favorite to go this year. Still.
I think it's because people don't think the Bills are that good, but that's kind of what I'm interested about in these playoffs. I think there are certain – I think we could be getting back to, hey, man, the teams that can run the ball, that might be who's dangerous. Now, that's the problem with the Jags. Jags can run the football.
Oh, ETN has been dogging people.
Jags can run the football, and they have got more dudes on defense than the Bills do.
Yeah.
Jags pretty good this year. At least they have shown in the last few weeks. Jags pretty good.
Well, and then like you have teams like the Texans. Like Texans have won 9 straight.
That defense is filthy.
But they're going on the road against Pittsburgh, and this Pittsburgh, like, this does feel like a Mike Tomlin special. Getting 3.5 at home on a Monday night.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks the Steelers stink, but DK is going to be back. DK is going to have kind of a point to prove. And, like, doesn't that game just smell like it's going to be 12-10 in the fourth?
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, just both coaches seeing who can punt it in plus territory more.
Yeah, this
And I'm not saying that either's wrong, but, like, I think D'Amico, if he had more trust in his offense, I think D'Amico would be more aggressive. I do think he knows, like, I can't trust the offense, so I can trust my defense.
I think C.J. Steele, although the offense went great, he had a bounce-back year compared to, because at first people been down on him the last couple years. I think he was respectable at times this year. You know the trade I would have wanted to see instead of the firing? I would have wanted to see them two coaches get traded, Mike and John. And I'm going to tell you why.
Mm.
As much as we get on Mike Tomlin, but
you're talking about the next Giants head coach, by the way. So,
as much as we get on,
I don't know if you saw the Athletic ranked the Giants as the best job available. So, Harbaugh, come on down
for Harbaugh.
No, the
not over the Ravens job. Right,
well, this was the list came out before the
The
Ravens job, because the Ravens is the best job available.
Yeah. So I think that trade should have happened because think about this, guys. Coach Tomlin get a lot of slack. But he hasn't had a top 10 or 15 quarterback since, like, Ben Roethlisberger, like, fifth to last year. He haven't had a – and he's still been making
that would be a fun thought experiment. What was Big Ben's last good year?
And that was the last time he had a top 10. Could you imagine him with Lamar Jackson, though, Thompson? I think he would make the run. Not saying he's better than John, because I love John. I love the Harbaughs as a whole.
Oh, again, be careful. That's my new coach. I need to stop thinking about it. I need to stop looking at the odds, like whatnot. Like, it's like if you could literally tell me John Harbaugh is going to be coaching the Giants, like, I would be borderline excited for the team.
Yeah.
And that has not happened the last time I got excited was when they just were playing Jackson. And it's like, I still knew the team sucked, but it's like, at least your new quarterback's playing. All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. We go to a former head coach of the New York Football Giants, Joe Judge. Yesterday was made available, and he was asked about the chaotic nature of the situation surrounding the Ole Miss football program with
quote.
The coaches.
I love this quote.
My next door neighbor was Aaron Hernandez. I know this is still more chaotic. In fairness, I don't think he was talking about that one particular day. I think his point was, there was a lot of stuff going on in Aaron Hernandez's house on a night-to-night basis.
Clearly.
Don't tell these story. Tell your story. All right. Coach, don't tell my wife I said this, but I wish you and the Canes well tomorrow night.
Thank you.
All right, if you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. My thanks to Jason Munns for joining us as well. For George, for Coach, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.